Do they know the Lord, Rita?
I think so. My son-in-law, George's husband does.
Yeah.
Mum and dad. So yeah. Rita spells being that. I can't say
it. Are we ready, sir? Yes. Thank you, Jenny.
Right. Well, good morning, everyone. We have the most wonderful message, but this morning the Holy Spirit lives in every believer. And of course we know that, but isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that that's the truth? Every morning we wake up and the Holy Spirit is still indwelling us and has been all through the night, whatever's going on. So we have so much to thank the Lord for. And so let's pray before we start. Lord, we're so grateful that you didn't leave us on our own when you went to be at the right hand of your Father. You sent your Holy Spirit. You sent the Counselor, the Comforter. And we especially think this morning of Rita's family, for Emma and Callum, as they grieve the loss of this baby. And Lord, may they know your presence with them, and for the wider family too. We know that grandparents and brothers and sisters will all be so sad. So Lord, just let them know your presence with them, as we do here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. In your precious name, Lord. Amen. So our first song this morning, hopefully you all received it and have practiced. And it's called Precious Time. And it talks about really being in the presence of the Lord all the time. And part of it says, your Holy Spirit dwells within us on the good days and the bad. Your promise is to move within us with your power, strength, and love. So we'll sing Precious Time.
My soul yearns for more of you. Your
wonderful truth. And we go straight into, as we are gathered, Jesus is here.
Believing prayer. Let us pray. Living God, we pray that as the Holy Spirit came in wind and fire to the apostles, so may your Spirit come to us, breathing new life into our lives and setting our hearts aflame with love. Gracious God, rejoicing in your blessings, trusting in your loving care for all, we bring you our prayers for the world. We pray for the created world. We pray for those who rebuild where things have been destroyed. We pray for those who fight hunger, poverty and disease, for those who have power to bring change for better and to renew hope. We pray for our country, for those in leadership who frame our laws and shame our common life, who keep the peace and administer justice, for those who teach and for those who heal, for all who serve the community. We pray for people in need, those for whom life is a bitter struggle, those whose lives are clouded by death or loss, or by pain or disability, by discouragement or fear, by shame or rejection. We pray for those in the circle of friendship and love around us, children, parents, sisters and brothers, friends and neighbors, and for those who are specially in our thoughts today. We pray for Stuart, We ask, Lord, that you would be all that he needs. Be his companion. Lord, may he know your presence at all times. We pray for John and Margaret. Lord, may they stay safe in their home. We pray for April, still waiting for a date. And Lord, this morning, as we've heard about Emma and the situation, we pray for her, we pray for the family. Lord, be with them all. And Lord, we thank you that we are your family here, and we pray for each other. We pray for Richard. We pray for Jilly. We pray for Brian. We pray for Deborah. We pray for Graham. We pray for Bruce. We pray for Rita. We pray for Jean. We pray for Sarah. We pray for Eunice and myself. Lord, may all that we do be within your will. Lord, would you equip and empower us to be your representatives in this community. We pray for the church in its stand with the poor, in its love for the outcast and the ashamed, in its service to the sick and the neglected, in its proclamation of the gospel in this land and in this place. Eternal Father, hear these our prayers, the spoken and the silent, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all praise and glory for ever and ever. Amen.
So we're going to sing Spirit of the Living God, Fall Afresh on Me.
Spirit of the Living God,
Brian for the reading today. Thank you, Brian.
John chapter 14, verses 15 to 21. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see anymore, but you will see me, because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show them myself to them. Amen.
So we're going to sing, There is a Redeemer. Chorus says, thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done.
Oh,
sure you have not forgotten what we all sang a little while ago. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. This is what we said. This is what we sung. Break me, melt me, mold me, fill me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. As we sang those words, I hope and trust that each one of us, myself and each one of you, that we will keep that prayer. That we will be there willing to let the Spirit of God make us, mold us, fill us and use us. What a privilege it is. The Spirit has come and is there to make us new people, to make us afresh in God's service. I often say, may the Spirit put it this way, Spirit of the living God, fall on me. May I be empty of self and full of the Spirit. Empty of self and full of the Spirit. And so the reminder is that the Holy Spirit lives in every believer. In the reading that Brian read to us, I want to share with you again verses 16 and 17. These are the words of Jesus himself. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. It's a wonderful promise that Jesus gave us, and it's true. You know, often Christianity is described as one of the great world religions. Now, if by religion people means a specific set of beliefs and practices generally agreed upon by a number of persons or sects, well then they are correct. But Christianity is more than a religion. It is a relationship with God. It is an intimate personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So how is a relationship with God possible? Well, through the work of the Holy Spirit, who lives within all believers and is therefore personally involved and active in the life of each believer. And you know, no other religion can make quite the same claim. Only Christians can say that their God, the one true God, actually lives in them. So how can this be? Well, let us see what the Bible says. First, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is God. The Bible states in no uncertain terms that there is but one God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Yet the Bible speaks of the Holy Spirit as a person who has the attributes of God. In other words, the Spirit was part of creation. He knows all truth, and he is omnipresent. So the Holy Spirit is God. Next, the Holy Spirit has a special ministry. When Jesus physically returned to heaven, he did not leave his disciples without anyone. No, oh no. And that promise that he would not leave them on their own. That was a promise not only to those disciples, but as scripture makes clear, a promise to all future believers. Because without someone to guide us, we would need that promise. John 14, verse 26. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Isn't that wonderful? Just as Jesus promised, the Holy Spirit was sent as the helper to facilitate spiritual birth and to indwell in those who experience that birth. How is it that we knew Jesus? How is it that we knew him as our Saviour? How is it that we became, as we say, born again? My friends, it's the Holy Spirit working in our lives. It's the Holy Spirit trying to share God's truth with us. And it's God's Spirit that reveals all that is there for those who will accept Jesus as their Saviour. Jesus, as promised, we know the Holy Spirit was sent as the helper. And it's interesting to note the difference the Holy Spirit can make in our lives. Acts 1, verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Isn't that wonderful? The Holy Spirit will come upon us, and we will be God's witnesses. Do you know, before the Spirit arrived, the disciples were surely just a small group of frightened men. The disciples fled from the crucifixion and they hid themselves in the upper room. But after the coming of the Spirit, their courage took a dramatic upturn. This small band of followers, empowered by the Spirit, burst into the city of Jerusalem and began to minister powerful to the people around them. How could they do it? Well, they didn't look as if they were going to be on fire for God at first. But once the Holy Spirit arrived, all things changed. The Holy Spirit is a helper. The Holy Spirit is the very presence of God within us, yes. He is our helper. He is not just an impersonal force. His personhood is evident by the fact that when sin controls us, we grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit supplies us also with spiritual gifts. Every believer, scripture tells us, is equipped by the Holy Spirit to serve others in the church. We are all gifted in various ways for the benefit of fellow believers. 1 Corinthians 12 says this: there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God that works, that is at work. So note that all these gifts are for us in the church for common good. Some are gifted leaders, others evangelists, and still others pastors and teachers, while other gifts are for living in Christ-like conduct, showing the very mercy and helping those in need. We get gifts to do all this. The Holy Spirit also acts and works directly in non-believers, challenging them to come to faith. So we don't share the gospel on our own. It's the Holy Spirit that works directly in non-believers' life, challenging them to come to faith. And the next one, the Holy Spirit promises a Christ-like conduct. You know, when a person believes in Jesus and comes into the family of God, they are a new person. That's why becoming a Christian is often called being born again. And this new birth is an instantaneous act, happens immediately, in which a person receives a righteous standing before God. Do you know, when we allow God's Spirit to help us, the world we see will be a life that Jesus saw. It will be a life of action. When we walk by the Spirit, that is when we live under the Spirit's control. Yeah, when the Spirit's with us, the Spirit is in control. We will not act in ungodly ways. Rather, we will exhibit Christ-like behavior. And you know, these qualities that are exhibited when a person is controlled by the Spirit, they are known as the fruit of the Spirit. That's how people will see Christ through his Spirit working in us. Yes, isn't it wonderful? The gifts we receive, but the Christ-like conduct, that is what is called the fruit of the Spirit. And they are love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So it's the Holy Spirit who promotes the Christian conduct within us, and it's the Holy Spirit who is an intercessor. Now, you may be familiar with the intercession that Jesus performs for believers as he sits at the right hand of God the Father. But the Holy Spirit is also an intercessor. The Apostle Paul says this about the Spirit's intercessory ministry. He says this: in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And you know, my friends, when Dennis's son was in hospital in Exeter, Dennis said to me, "I don't know how to pray." I said, "Just wait upon the Lord. Tell him how you feel. And he will not only give you words to pray, but he will be praying for you. The Spirit will be working in your life, and he will bring about wonderful things." That seemed a bit strange to Dennis, because he was already told that his son would not live. And then the miracle came. I don't know how Dennis used the advice I gave him, but I do know this, that the God that I told him would pray for him through the Spirit was true. The Spirit worked in that young man's life in a marvelous way. You see, we have an amazing promise. We have the assurance that when we do not know how to pray, the Holy Spirit will pray and intercede for us so that the Lord's will may be done. And it's quite strange, because when Dennis and his wife Joan moved, then we didn't have as much contact with them as we had. But the dear son still rings us now. "How are you? What are you doing? How's the church?" We need to continue to pray for that young man, because he's not moved as far as his dad has, and he could be with us. He used to join us on a Sunday, but you know, when things happen, marvelous things, not everyone realizes what has happened and to who they own that gift, that healing. And so we need to pray for Chris. We need to pray that he will remember, that he will give his life back in a new and wonderful way. He's not had an easy time. He's always looking for jobs. He gets jobs, but he doesn't keep them for too long. And his sister's just like that, isn't she? Hey?
Yeah.
But you know, the Lord's worked in that family in a wonderful way. We need to pray that what the Spirit has done, that the Spirit will do more. That once again the Spirit will change the situation of that family. That the Spirit will give them a new awakening. Oh, they rejoiced at the time. But you know, the Spirit doesn't work in a life for us then to forget God. Oh no. So we need to pray for Dennis, for Chris, for Sarah, the daughter, and for Joan, Dennis's wife. What does this mean then for us? Well, surely it means that we need an understanding of the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit, because that is vital to our growth as believers. It's through the Holy Spirit that God is made personal in our lives. It is through the Spirit that we can experience God. It is through his work that we know God's presence within us. I know when I sat in prayer in St. Paul's Cathedral and I said to the Lord, what do I do now? Everything went quiet. I couldn't speak. And suddenly I knew that the Lord was speaking to me. And the only way that could happen is by the Spirit coming and working in and through us. And that's what the Spirit did for me. And I was then able to say, Lord, I will do whatever you want. Yes. The Spirit, if we are willing, will have his way. We also see the Spirit's influence as we respond to him in obedience. You need that obedience. He illuminates our understanding of spiritual things when we read the Bible. You know, for me, when I first became a Christian, I didn't know the Bible at all. But you know, my friends, we need to have an understanding of spiritual things when we do read the Bible. And I can tell you from my own experience that, you know, I've looked at the Bible in those early days and thought, what's all this about? But it is the Spirit that reveals the truth. It is the Spirit that empowers our ministry through the spiritual gifts he gives us for service. He also guarantees our future inheritance in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? Our going to claim the eternal life that has been promised to us, that gift of going to be with God forever, that's promised to us. But my friends, it comes, and we know that the promise and the work of the Spirit is true. I want to finish by sharing Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14. Please make note of this. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are in God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Praise God, Father, Son, and Spirit. And the challenge today is, let us receive the Spirit. Let us work within the Spirit. Let us be controlled by the Spirit. Let us receive the gifts of the Spirit. And let us show the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. You could say, well, Bruce, you're asking for too much. Oh, no. Oh, no. The Spirit is the powerful one. Not us, the Spirit. And because of that, we can say that with God, all things are possible. God, Father, Son, and Spirit, all things are possible. Amen.
So just before we share communion, we're going to sing Spirit of Holiness, Wisdom, and faithfulness.
Here is the table of the Lord. We are gathered to his supper, a foretaste of things eternal. This table is not the table of the church or the pub. It's the table of the Lord. It's here for those who love him and for those who want to love him more. So come, not because it's me who invites you. It is our Lord. It is his will that those who want him should meet here. Look, here is the Lord's table, spread out as a feast, bread for breaking, wine for drinking, signs of his love and hospitality, symbols of his life broken and his blood poured out. What a wonderful sacrifice. But he is not dead. He is risen and present among us. We have evidence of God's grace and promise. So, we come in faith to the table, you and I, companions, aren't we, on a journey. Some of us fresh and eager, some of us may be weary and in need of nourishment, but all of us surely are conscious of our failings. So let us come now. Don't let us hesitate. The table is ready, and it is the Lord that invites us. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the bread and the wine. They are but symbols of your great body and blood shed for us. O Lord, we rejoice that we come now in remembrance of all that you have suffered for us. We come because this was your request, that we should do this in remembrance of you. So, Lord, may this be a special moment in our lives as we partake of your supper. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we know that Jesus took the bread, he broke it, and he said, take, eat, do this in remembrance of me. Brian, would you come and serve the bread? We know that Jesus also took the cup. He said, this cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whoever drinks it, please do it, said Jesus, in remembrance of me. Richard, I wonder whether you would like to come and keep the wine until we've all been served. Thank you very much. How wonderful, how amazing that Jesus, God's own Son, should be willing to die on the cross as the sacrifice for our sins. Oh, friends, surely we need to take and drink this wine with sincere thanks to God for the great and wonderful sacrifice that we now remember. Let us drink and be truly thankful. Let us pray. God of grace, you have called us to be your disciple people. You have gathered us to your table. Here we have tasted the new wine of your kingdom. Empower us by your Spirit that we may be gospel people, sharing the good news with others. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, we ask this prayer. Amen. Recently looked at the position of the elders, we realized that we need to meet together. There'll be things that we need to discuss at times, but also we need desperately to meet in prayer. And so we're trying to fix a prayer meeting. I don't know, Jean, whether any day would be better for you, or time.
I would have to check my diary just to make sure there weren't any medical people coming in, but it's highly unlikely.
All right, so if you could let us know, we would be grateful, then we can fix a date and come to you, is that right?
You realise Stuart will be there as
yeah.
Well. Like, you know,
but at least you'll see us and yeah. Have a bit of company. Yeah? All right?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
Right. So thank you. So we'll fix a date for meeting together in prayer. And now over to Gillian.
I think often in churches this song, Holy Spirit, we welcome you, is sung at the beginning of the meeting. But the Holy Spirit's always with us and we always welcome him. So it doesn't actually matter when we sing it. So I thought we'd go out with it today. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you.
Above us.
this time that next week will be the third Sunday, so that's the day to bring gifts for the homeless, for the food bank, and also in 2 weeks' time, 2 weeks from today, we have this wonderful invitation from Sarah. As we remember William's passing, an invitation to join together after the service on the 25th, a fortnight today, for breakfast. So if you're able to come, let us know. Presumably you'll be here, but if you're able to stay, let us know. I'm sure. All right?
Yes.
Good. Right.
I won't be here.
What do we do if you weren't here? If you didn't turn up.
We still do it. May the grace
of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Sorry. I keep thinking I won't do it, but I just can't.